Hello there! Welcome to the International Business Podcast. I'm your host, Leonardo Marra, but let's make it simple and just call me Leo. In this podcast, I share my experiences and interview international professionals to draw lessons from the real-life stories. Coming up on today's episode.
If I made a mistake, it's because I was working. So this is the proactive philosophy that I am trying to have on my own. It's not easy. It's not easy because it's very easy to just, you know, give up to despair and just say, oh, to hell with it. Beginning of 2020, internally we had discussions and we knew that a very, very hard year was coming. A very, very difficult year was coming because of the Brexit. Then, of course, the universe decided to drop the COVID as well, but that's not a story.
For the season finale, we have a returning guest. I decided to close 2020 with the very first guest of the show, Stefano Santelmo. He represents a perfect example of international professional. He's Italian, he lives in France, he works for a UK company managing sales in Europe, and the factory is located in China. 9 months ago, we sat down and, through Zoom, we talked about how Brexit and COVID-19 were impacting his industry. And what happened since? You can find more details about Stefano in the show notes, and you could go back to the very first interview episode with him, Supply Chain Complexity. Before we start, I want to thank every single guest who came on the show this year and all the listeners that are scattered across 82 countries as of December 6th. The International Business Podcast is taking a break and will come back in 2021 with some changes as well. Now, let's begin. Hi, Stefano. I'm glad to have you back here on the International Business Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to be back. Thank you for having me again. It's quite a nice surprise.
We talked over 8 months ago. So for some people, this could be might be the first time that they hear, listen to you. But for others, you know, it's not the first. So 8 months ago, Stefano, so much has happened.
Yeah.
So news were mainly about Brexit, and China back then was in lockdown. Now it seems no one is really talking about Brexit, even if it is coming, or is it? I mean, you're going to tell us.
Yeah.
And the virus is on a rampage. So European countries and beyond are badly hit by a second wave. Not the first, but a second wave. And here in China, it seems we're really back to normal. But before we start with the coronavirus, Brexit, where the hell are we?
Yes. Well, a lot has passed in the, as you said, in the last 8 months, 8 to 9 months. At this very moment, Brexit, it is happening. It's definitely happening. And it technically already happened. So the UK officially left the EU at the end of January this year. And 2020 was supposed to be, for both parties, for both EU and UK, was supposed to be the transition period, the transition year, where all the talks and all the deals were supposed to be signed, held, taken, agreed upon, and everything. That's probably the worst timing ever that this could happen, because, of course, as you said, coronavirus whipped off everything and focus all the attention and all the talks and all the media attention to itself, to the corona emergency. The Brexit didn't stop. The problem is that it wasn't a priority anymore. So basically what happened is that in the last months, the talks between EU and UK, they kept going. But of course, countries like France or Germany or the UK itself, they had to face the lockdown and all the consequences of the COVID emergency first. Now, where are we now with Brexit? Basically, Brexit, it's happening. Again, technically, it already happened, but it's happening at the end of 2020. So as of the 1st of January 2021, the UK will be officially outside the EU, the European Union. This will happen. We don't really know what's going to happen. We know for sure that it's going to be a hard no-deal Brexit. because they tried to came to a middle way, a middle ground. But of course, the UK was not expecting the EU to be so strict in terms of legislation and some specific points, like the fishing permits in the UK sea territories and the border of Northern Ireland. These are very technical and very specific aspect that I'm no expert of Brexit, but I know these were points of
key points,
big clash between key points. Yeah, thank you. And clash between the UK and the EU. What's happening is that there was no focus on Brexit. There was definitely no focus on Brexit. What Brexit brought was just the political suicide of a couple of UK PMs. I'm thinking David Cameron and Theresa May, and now Boris Johnson.
I forgot about Theresa May. Completely forgot about Theresa May.
That's the thing. Everybody forgot about Brexit because of the focus on COVID. But Brexit is still happening. It's happening in the worst possible way.
I was following the Brexit news almost on a daily basis, because before moving to China, I was in the UK for like 7 years. I'm not British, yeah. But you know, I was just interested in, you know, the situation. Really, for like 1 year or so, I have no idea what happened. More or less, you're my source.
Just Brexit talk. Yeah. No, absolutely. But that's the thing. Nothing happened. Really, nothing happened. Boris Johnson, the newest prime minister, the current prime minister in the UK. What was it, 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago, lost yet another ally, because Donald Trump was supposed to be and the US were supposed to be the next natural step to sign off really good deals, really good treaty and international treaties between UK and the US. But of course, now Joe Biden, I don't know how much of a fan is of Boris Johnson and the Brexit overall, but I reckon that Joe Biden has now different priorities than dealing with the long-distance cousin across the pond. Yeah, exactly. And they were definitely not expecting, the UK was definitely not expecting all the no that the EU repeated, because of course the EU had no intention whatsoever to go easy on this negotiation. Again, it was the worst possible timing.
And let's move to your sector, Stefano. So you work into the, let's say, dental medical industry. What are the main implications on international business because of Brexit, and specifically in your area?
Specifically in my sector, in the dental and medical sector. This sector is included in the, as you said, in the overall manufacturing and business relationships. Import-export between UK and the rest of the world, mainly EU. What's happening in my sector is that coming next year, all the products that are manufactured in the UK will have to be imported into the European Union through the international business law. So importing from South Korea or Australia or Argentina or UK will be the same thing for France, Germany, Spain, Italy, the European Union. And that will shuffle the status quo, because of course now because of the vicinity, the geographical vicinity of the UK and the EU were. And in my sector, it's also borderline scary, because the UK, they do not manufacture everything that is in market in terms of dental and medical business. That means health. That's the healthcare business. So I'm hoping, and this is very the worst case scenario. What's happening? What's going to happen is that everything that is manufactured outside UK, that it's basically everything in terms of the dental and medical industry, has to be imported in the UK, and this will have taxes, and this will be regulated under World Trade Organization rules. And of course, there will be a lot of taxes and fees. And that means that for the end user, I don't know, the toothbrush and the EpiPen will be very, very expensive. That's what concerns me. not specifically in my business, because of course the dental business, it's sometimes is not considered as a priority in healthcare. But I'm thinking about all the medicines and all the pharmacies that will have to import aspirins, just simply as that, from, I don't know, from pharmaceutical companies in the EU, and they will have to import them in the UK, and that would be very, very expensive also to the end user. And that's what's happening in my industry. On top of that, the regulations that the medical regulations that were giving the guidelines for the products that could or could not be sold within the UK or the EU, this will be different. If now the European certificates are valid and are okay for the UK market, these certifications that are still valid for the European countries will not be valid for the UK once the UK will go through with Brexit, will leave EU. This is just like I can sell an equipment in the European Union because I have those certifications, but I cannot sell it in the United States, for example, because there I will need an FDA certification. So what we are facing now in the upcoming months is the UK that will have to come up with new certifications that all the companies will have to undersign and undergo the certification again in order to be able to have a market in UK.
We are recording this episode in November. It will probably be published in December. So we don't know what is going to happen within, you know, a month or so, but yeah.
Oh yeah, we are in the complete uncertainty, yeah.
Exactly. So when this episode goes live, the situation may be very different or probably even more complicated.
At least evolved. at very least evolved.
And with regard to your own company, I mean, the company you work for, Stefano.
Yes.
Has it benefited at all from Brexit?
No.
No. Okay, you knew where I was going.
Sorry.
Nothing.
No. I'm not going to try to find a silver lining here. It's no, absolutely. Beginning of 2020, internally we had discussions and we knew that a very, very hard year was coming. A very, very difficult year was coming because of the Brexit. Then of course the universe decided to drop the COVID as well, but that's another story. We had to face the Brexit. We had to tackle this issue. And what we did and what we are doing is to basically create a new branch of our company. And what we're doing is to set up and organize a whole new warehouse with new offices within the European Union. In our case, in Poland, because we already have connections, and geographically speaking, for us, it's really, logistically speaking, it's really an advantage. But what we had to do was to face the problems and not the benefits and not the advantages that Brexit was bringing. We had problems of staff between Brexit and the COVID outbreak. We had problems of supplying, because of the couriers that are now starting to be very, very expensive to deliver outside the UK. And in terms of our wholesale market in Europe, we just decided to invest our money, time, effort, and everything, workforce and everything, into a whole new warehouse. And this means a lot of work. I wouldn't say a nightmare, but it's a lot of added work that we were not forecasting in 2020. So no, the benefit of Brexit, absolutely no. Business-wise, for my personal experience, there was no benefit at all. I'm not an Englishman, so I don't know what I'm trying to think of the advantages of a Brexit overall, like politically, historically, business-wise, whatever, and I cannot find any. But that's probably just me.
And when we recorded the first episode, so here in China, I'm in Shanghai, we were locked down. And if I remember correctly, you weren't. So you're based in Paris.
Yeah.
Then a first wave, you know, hit Europe and beyond Europe. But right now, we are really in the middle of a second wave, which seems to be even worse than the first one. So tell us about your experience and business experience with the first wave and what is happening now with the second one.
You're correct. As you said, my lockdown, sounds funny, but my lockdown started in France, started mid-end of March, while you in Shanghai were in lockdown at the beginning of February, I think, or 1 month before, I don't remember. What we can see is that what happened is that this is a very, very tricky question, because of course, as you probably remember, our manufacturing facilities are in China and our warehouse is in the UK. What happened in the first wave for us is that our factories closed down for 3 months, because that was the foreclosure, that was the lockdown that was mandatory in China. And for 3 months, to give some time, we are talking about, I think, help me out here. This is February, March, April.
Yes, correct.
Yes, exactly. For these 3 months, our factories and all the factories in China were shut down. So and I cannot stress this enough. This is very important. The production power on this planet stopped. I don't know how heavier I can be, how more straightforward than this. It's very hard to be.
When we recorded that episode, I was working for another company. It was in medical devices as well, here in China. And yeah, our factory stopped.
Yes, yes.
It was kind of keeping relationships with
exactly
distributors for like 3 months, but we didn't have anything to sell. I mean, okay, we had stuff in the warehouse, but we couldn't process any new order because we did a lot of customization.
Nothing.
Products. Nothing. Like, yeah, 3 months at zero.
Yeah, the reality of the situation is that on the planet Earth, the manufacturing process stopped. I don't know if you're listening to this podcast in a car, on a radio, cooking, trying to sleep. I don't know. But if you look around yourself, everything you see in your car, in your bathroom, in your kitchen, everything is made in China. Now, this is just generalizing a lot. But what I'm trying to say is that, realistically speaking, the COVID emergency was 3 months of no production in every single industry that you can think of. Automotive industry, dental industry, medical industry, fashion industry, whatever industry. Everything was stopped. Everything was closed down. This is very important, and I can really not stress this enough, because this 3 month stop has massive consequences in the following months. 3 months of stop means that all the orders you are dealing in those 3 months will be postponed in the following 3 months. So right now, in May, let's say May 2020, the Chinese government decided to reopen the factories. Great. The production starts again. The production starts again. It doesn't mean that magically nothing happened. The consequences are that in May, when the factories reopened, they already had 3 months of back orders that they had to run and manufacture in order to be able to keep up with the incoming requests of a world of different countries where the COVID outbreak was just hitting. So the supply and demand here was really, really, I don't know how to say, misbalanced. So basically what happened is that in the following months, the Chinese manufacturing facilities of whatever industry, they tried to keep up with the back orders. So a delay is building up, a massive delay is building up. At the same time, you have to think of the Chinese factories. This is our experience. They didn't come back to 100% functionality. What happened is that, and this is normal actually in a Chinese factory, every year there is a turnover of workers and laborers. So February, there is the Chinese New Year. The factory closed down for a couple of weeks. It's basically our New Year, Christmas, New Year time period. After that, all the workers come back. And every year, usually there is 20% of the overall workers are not coming back to their old job. because they opened up a new business, because they found another job, is the normal situation. This year, the turnover of people not coming back from the New Year's, the Chinese New Year celebration, plus the COVID lockdown, the turnover of people that didn't come back was around more than half. I'm just spitballing percentage here, and I'm no expert, but it was more than half of the workers that didn't come back in the massive factories where you have to basically leave as well, because of course there is lockdown. So there is a canteen, there are bunk beds. So you sleep there, you live there, you work there. And by the way, do you remember those 3 months of back orders? Great. They're doing the back orders, of course, during the night shifts. So these factories are now working 24/7, starting May and continuing till now. They're working 24/7 with problem of number of workers, because there is no 100% functionality of the factories. Not all the workers came back. And if not all the workers came back, you have to find new workers in order to make the factory work. And these workers are not as skilled and as experienced as the one that they didn't come back. This is the reality of the production in China, and these are the consequences. At the same time, and this is very, very confusing, but at the same time, the demand, the requests and the orders that we were facing were coming from companies in Europe, in Spain, Italy, France, Germany, UK, etc., where the lockdown was starting, where the demand for specific equipments of the dental industry, in my case, was basically zero, because the dentists were closed, the hospital were closed. I mean, well, the dentists were closed, not the hospitals, but the dental clinics were closed. Nobody could work in the dental industry. But at the same time, every single one of my clients, as a health distributor, of course, shifted their focus on the face masks. I think this is another episode on your podcast if you want to start talking about face masks. But we as a manufacturer, we always produced face masks, surgical face masks, not FFP2, so not specific for this. Even so, the request and the demand of face masks was 80% of our orders overall. And again, this is a period of around six, seven months, starting from April till now, because as you said, we are now starting with the second wave. 80% of our requests were for face masks. And we had to invest also in the production of face masks, investing in new machinery to the production of surgical face masks. And on the supply and demand, of course, what happened as well is for the face masks specifically, was that, of course, that turned out to be a very, very high-priced item. I don't want to divulge our prices. This is not a platform. But, of course, the price of these face masks, because of the demand that was so of the high demand, the price was not, we didn't increase the price of 10% or 50%, but we increased the price of, in March and April, of I think around 350%, because of course the real problem wasn't
raw material. Just is the raw material of the masks. Absolutely, yeah. Lots of people were thinking, oh, now Chinese companies are making a lot of money because they're selling masks, no. 10 times the price. But the problem is that the materials used for face masks are particular. It's not like plastic or paper.
Yeah.
So yeah. The price of the raw material just skyrocketed, and yeah, prices were just crazy. Now, yeah, again, let's not talk about price, but if you want to buy the same mask now, it's a completely different price than before. I guess probably now, because of the second wave, prices may go up again, but
and that's going to be interesting. Yes. That's what I wanted to say, because I don't know if we are going to see the same trend of the industry. So as you said, a skyrocket in these prices, and then month by month, our prices as well decreased little by little. But now what's going to happen? I found myself in Paris locked down for the second time. It's been 2 weeks now. what's happening? What should I tell my distributors? Is the price increasing or decreasing? That's what they're asking me. And I generally, I don't know, because we don't know. Not at the moment, of course, because the production of face masks was massive. So of course there is stock. No problem there. Another issue that was really, really undermined overall, as you said, was, yeah, the raw materials and additionally the shipment cost, because of course everything stopped in those famous 3 months. Everything stopped to be manufactured. Everything was not exported anymore. That means that once China opened up again, the courier express that were shipping outside China, they increased the prices as well. Everybody loves money, right? So the real problem was not just to manufacture, it's the real manufacturing process of the face masks, but was, as you said, the raw material and the shipment.
I would like to say something about logistics. I think I really strained the relationship with a customer that we had at the time, my previous job, not because of the face masks themselves, but because of logistics. They placed an order, and I don't want to name the company, but the most famous logistic company, so the very first that comes to your mind. So, you know, very famous for great, great service and whatever. But here in China was a complete disaster, because what they did is this. They accepted every single order. And then what happened is that in cargos, then they got completely, they got stuck at the airport, at the harbors, everywhere. And they, you know, I guess greedy. So they accepted every order. And then they weren't able to basically manage the flow. And I remember we had this cargo that from China to South Africa, it took like, I'm talking flight here, not by ship.
Air freight. Yeah.
It took like more than like a month or so. And I really, that was terrible, because business relationships in the heat of the moment, I will say March, April, May, it was quite bad with customers, because there were just so many factors that most people couldn't control. And they were creating, I guess, damages to relationships. Because every day, there was a new problem. And yeah, logistics was certainly a major issue. And moving to technology a second, how are you dealing with Zoom? Or I don't know, maybe you're using Hangouts, or maybe you're using Skype. But you know, I think that Zoom is at least the word that everybody's using. Maybe, okay, you're using another software, but how do you find yourself selling through Zoom?
Well, funny enough, I didn't use Zoom or these video chats as much as you might think. The really interesting part of all these being strained of very far away, you know, also mentally, not just geographically, but mentally from your customers. There is no trade shows of reference that you can, you know, ask for a coffee and hang out or whatever. What I found myself in doing was going old school, actually. The famous cold phone call to the customer, to the distributor, just to call him and just to say, hey, how are you doing? How are you holding up during this outbreak? What's the situation there with your dentist? And more than Zoom, more than going forward with the technology, I did have my Zoom meetings, you know, with the suit and tie and everything, and the slippers and the pajamas, but just like everybody else. But I what I did was, instead of going forward, I went backward, and the contact and the conversation that you can actually have by phone with your customers, it's something very, very surprising, mostly for the customer. Because he's not expecting a phone call. He's expecting, Zoom meeting, an email telling him about the Zoom meeting, et cetera, et cetera. But a phone call can be taken, you know, with the Bluetooth in a car, or while I'm waiting for coffee, I don't know. So it's a really, really basic common ground where the conversation comes up, the real conversation, not just I'm trying to sell you something. Here's the email with the information. Here's the Zoom meeting with all the points we have to discuss. The conversation, the phone actually was my best friend. during this COVID outbreak, this pandemic. Yeah.
Is there anything about yourself that has improved because of the pandemic? Is there anything positive out of this mess we're in and we're still going to be for a while, I guess?
There is a silver lining, yes. There are, I wouldn't say advantages, but situation that I had to face that actually, as you said, pushed me to grow and improve in my skills. I think, of course, my problem-solving skills improved a lot. Not just because we had a lot of problems, that's not the case, but because of all the consequences that we had to face, from the 3-month stop, all the back orders, all the clients screaming for because they wanted their orders, etc. My problem-solving skills, I would say, I'm feeling way more comfortable and confident in giving, yes, even bad news to the clients. My philosophy is now that only people who actually work makes mistakes. And that's the concept, is that even though I made a mistake, even though I made multiple mistakes, I made mistakes because I'm putting myself out there, because I am actually working, because I am actually trying to help out this distributor with this particular problem, with this particular issue. So this is what developed in me during this pandemic, absolutely. And also a more laid-back mentality towards work, because this puts everything into perspective, I think. And it's just work.
So would it be fair, Stefano, to say that you became a better problem solver and you became more accountable, more responsible?
I had to. And it is very fairly, you actually are making me realizing that. I didn't realize that at first by myself. Thank you.
And I've asked you this question before. So to tell us about one memorable moment from your international career. So this time I want to do something a little bit different. I would like you to share with us some peculiar episode or episodes that happened during these 6, 7, 8 months. I don't remember this, let's say, COVID Brexit part 2 mayhem period.
It's a very, very strange period. I'm thinking back of this past 6 months, and I'm realizing that I just stayed home. I did nothing. So I'm trying to picture, I'm trying to think of a funny anecdote during a trip or during a phone call or whatever. But no, nothing. I was just home. What I remember very distinctly was a phone call with my CEO in the UK. At that specific time, he was in Poland because he was starting to set up the Polish warehouse for my company, and he called me. Basically, he called me, and of course, he had a crazy itinerary because, of course, he took a train from Bournemouth to London. But at the same time, his phone died, his phone battery died. But he cut off the cord to actually recharge the recharger for the phone. He cut it off. I don't remember how he was like, massive headache, was horrible. Basically, I call him. He was in Poland at that time. I call him and I ask him, hey, how's it going? Just, hi, good morning. How are you? And he just started laughing because that was the most stupid question that I could ask, because the natural answer was not, everything is fine, thank you, how are you doing? No, he just started laughing. He just started laughing and just started telling me what went wrong during that 2 days. And that was funny for me, not that much for him, but that was quite emblematic. Me just calling my boss, asking him, how are you doing? And him realizing that
it's not okay.
He wasn't doing. He's not okay. I'm in Poland. I'm hurt. I'm late. I'm thinking about everything. I'm handling the UK warehouse and the Polish warehouse, and COVID is in the middle of everything. So that was quite emblematic. That's what I remember, the episode I remember. And that's, I don't know, cartoonishly funny.
Stefano, to wrap this up, what piece of advice would you give to other international salespeople, let's put it this way? So international salespeople out there that, like you and I, have been in this situation and we're still going to be in this situation for a while. What would you tell them?
Our job, well, my job and your previous job.
I'm still in sales. Yeah.
Yeah, you're still in sales. Okay, great. Sorry, different industry, but still in sales. Our job, a job for a salesperson, is, I like to call him, to call it the job of the nose, because we hear and we have and we receive a lot of no, especially during this time. No from express couriers or from suppliers, from distributors, from clients, from whoever. What I'm trying to do is to have, and what I would say to another salesperson is to just keep a positive attitude. And that's a full-time job. Keeping a positive attitude in while being in lockdown, while not receiving new orders because your clients shut down, because there are non-essential workers, therefore not receiving commissions or as much commission as the previous months, I would just focus on being, on having a positive attitude and trying to keep the network alive of distributors, of clients.
Let me be practical here. So what do you mean to
keep having a positive attitude? It means not just whinging or complaining about the situation, but understanding the situation, accepting the situation, good or bad that it is, and trying to channel all the, and I'm talking realistically, I'm talking whatever, sport, meditation, yoga, whatever, you know, whatever you need to channel whatever energy you have for the job-wise into something positive, into not just complaining about what's wrong, but trying to find a solution on what's wrong, trying to think that this is just a period and in 1 month time, 3 months time, this situation will change with outside input or with your own input. It doesn't really matter. And again, what I am trying to do is to keep my network alive. So for real, just calling your clients and just asking, how are you? And then wait if they're laughing at you or not, but at least you're trying to build a bridge that goes beyond the simple email or the simple phone call. Hey, we have a special offer here. Do you want to buy my products? That's, you know, to go a little bit beyond. It's very cheesy what I'm saying. It's very, very basic. But I think that's what we can do at the moment. We really have to wait a little bit and see what's gonna happen in the following 3-4 months. What's gonna happen in Christmas? What's gonna happen with the vaccine? What's gonna happen with, I don't know, with the Brexit, with the new elections in these states, but everything. And again, thinking positively, it means, just like I said, my philosophy is, if I made a mistake, it's because I was working. So this is the proactive philosophy that I am trying to have on my own. It's not easy. It's not easy because it's very easy to just, you know, give up to despair and just say, to hell with it. I'm not doing this anymore. I don't want to waste my time. But I don't think that's the answer.
Stefano, I'm glad we did this. It was good to catch up again and analyze the, let's say, Brexit and COVID part two. So thank you for your insights and thank you for joining us again on the International Business Podcast.
Thank you again. Thank you for having me again, Leonardo.
So that is all for 2020. The International Business Podcast comes back in early 2021. Cheers.